This is Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Hardim. Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Welcome, my friends. The month of birth and rebirth, Easter weekend, family time, spring weather. What else can we ask for? A little turkey going to take place, perhaps. Chocolate and reflection for those who are into it. Yeah, lovely time. I was just, when I think about Easter every now and then, I can't get Donald Trump out of my mind when he thought COVID would be over by Easter. That was unbelievable. I certainly will say that the comedians are having a lot of fun with the upcoming election, and the drama will continue. And I must remind my friends at home, each and every one of you, when thinking about your money and the world of investing, do not allow the media and the headlines and the stories to sway your common sense decision. My friends, it'll drive you nuts. It'll make you paranoid. It will not help you. The trend is your friend. Pay attention to the market if you're inclined. Find some good advisors to work with you. Good lawyers, good accountants, of course, good money managers. And guess what? That's what Jack and I are. We're excellent at what we do. We're happy to help you, but it doesn't need to be us. Just make sure you find some good guidance, and don't let the media drive your decisions, because you will lose money. Trust me, you will lose money. You sell page one, you buy page 15. You do the opposite of what they have you spinning in your, spinning your bed? Sure, why not? Anyways, let's make some money. Matthew Lee, he's one of our analysts, joined Canaccord in 2018. Prior to, he was at one of the big banks and also worked at TELUS Corp. He has a major in finance from York and, of course, is a certified financial analyst charter holder. Matthew, welcome. It's good that you do cover the Canadian banks, being that you studied finance. Why not study the banks? But it's amazing. I look at your coverage universe and I can tell things have changed. I can tell that we are just coming out of a recession, because it looks like they put more work on your plate, my friend. I don't know if you're aware of this. You're a very young guy, but if you're not, I'm going to let you know. Back in the day, you would have just covered banks. Now you're covering banks. You're covering airlines, aerospace, industrials, and some private equity. So, wow, you're a busy man.
Yeah, you know what? You got to stay busy in this industry for sure.
You know what you have to do, I think, in this day and age, my friend? You have to adapt. You must adapt to change. And for those who can adapt to change, you will succeed. For those who refuse, at your peril. So good on you. Well, let's start with the Canadian banks. I will say that the Canadian banks have always been a go-to place for Canadian investors. I will say the Canadian banks have been pretty cold for the last 3 years. I will also say the Canadian banks look like they're trying to wake up, perhaps on the heels of the U.S. banks, perhaps the heels on a soft landing, perhaps on the heels of more predictable interest rates. I'm seeing strength across the board. TD, not the one, but National Bank looks like the strongest. Tell me if I'm wrong. I'd then say followed by perhaps Scotia, BMO, they're trying to percolate. CIBC coming around the outside. But TD languishing. And we had a psychic, by the way, on Matt. The psychic in December said TD would be the winner of the year.
Year's not over, Wolf.
So, psychic versus analyst. Who's going to be the winner on the year? And I just throw a funny one out to you. If it was a race between Royal and TD, 52-week performance, who would win that race, January to December? And just for fun. Matt, throw yeah. In. Who's going to be TD or Royal for the year?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors that play into it, right? I mean, Royal is one of those names that it's a premium ROE. It's done very, very well. It's our top pick for the year. So, generally we're going to go with that.
Yeah.
But, TD is also a great name. It's a name that underperformed in 2023. It has great capital markets growth for 24. It's doing the right things on the AML front. It's isolating and finding out what needs to be done in the U.S. in order to solve some of the problems it's facing there. And, I think that given how the performance has been in 2023, and to your point about the stock, this is a name that has the opportunity to break out, because structurally, TD is a very, very strong bank.
With a strong balance sheet, shoring up that allotted money that was allocated for acquisition that didn't go through, now it has excess cash, I would guess, on its balance sheet, or excess capital availability, correct?
Yeah, you're right, right? I mean, it can deploy that capital. It's buying back shares as we speak. It can look at other smaller acquisitions. But most importantly, as rates stabilize and come down, kind of like you mentioned, you know, mortgages will come back, commercial lending will come back, to some degree corporate lending will come back. And, you know, having a great capital position puts you in place to get aggressive on that front and grow your loan book.
Canadian banks versus U.S. banks, one-year outlook. What do you think is a better investment?
I don't cover the U.S., so I don't have much of a say on that. What I will say is the U.S. economy looks really strong. You know, if you look at the Canadian guys who have U.S. franchises, and that's, you know, RY, TD, BMO, in large parts, to, you know, CIBC to a bit of a smaller part, you know, they all are saying that the U.S. economy is strong, and I think, you know, that's an important factor when it comes to thinking about loan growth.
And how is it that National Bank has been such a outlier of strength when you look at the big five plus one banks? Poor, it just never gets considered in the big six, but it is one of the big six. But yeah, well, how's it been the winner?
We call it big six. That's okay. Yeah. You know, I think with National, the thing is that they've been executing very, very well, right? I mean, their business is more capital markets heavy than some of the peers. But at the same time, you know, if you look at their quarter over quarter performance, they're constantly putting up EPS numbers that are exceptionally strong. So, you know, that's more of a performance based kind of play. I think they've done a very good job on expense management as well.
In terms of the Canadian insurers, can I ask why you don't cover those?
You know, it's just an allocation thing at the time, right? You know, I'm working on the banks. I think that's a lot of things to think about.
Of course.
And some industrials as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just about, you know, how I'm positioned as an analyst.
Yeah, no, fair enough. But this is huge. The bank analyst covers both the sides of it. And Manulife finally has some life to it. Great West Life has been a fantastic outperformer for a couple of years, likewise with Sun Life. And Fairfax Financial, that became an interesting story with the short report from Muddy Waters that knocked the stock down for a couple of days. And then it turned the corner and went right back higher. And the U.S. is south of the border, Matt. Again, I know you don't cover the names, but Jack and I, in our growth portfolio, have a go anywhere strategy, and we, you know, pay attention to about 700 names each and every day. And what we see are U.S. insurers continuing to make 52-week highs, and they look clean as a whistle. So I have to just ask you holistically and from a macro, why is it the U.S. insurers are performing so well? Is it do with interest rate? Does it have to do with the cost structure, expense claim management? What's your guess?
Wolfgang, man, I really don't have a
no,
on that one for sure.
I mean, fair enough.
I really think more about the banks.
Let me jump
yeah,
in there, Wolf.
Please.
Yeah, the U.S. insurers do benefit from a normalized interest rate, so rates have come up since, obviously, the global financial crisis, and they are normalizing.
Yeah.
And I would say Matt would attest to that. And the other thing that the insurers in the U.S. have is the fact that it takes time for legislation for them to increase their premiums. So what you're seeing right now is flow through from the pandemic, so inflation happened obviously 2 years ago. It takes time for those insurance companies to actually catch up and charge their clients those premiums because it has to be legislated through the government.
I see. And supply chain killed the insurers in terms of auto repair and the like. You couldn't get parts. So I can certainly see that. But nonetheless, we own a couple of the names south of the border, and they're working very, very well. Let's move down the chain here. The airlines. Again, that's a tough, tough space. And I watch Air Canada. I'm paying attention to CAE. Let's start with CAE. This is a world-class company. It is flight simulators. Again, world-class company. Stock is not getting any love right now. What gives with it, Matt?
Yeah, good question. I think with the CAE story, it's kind of a tale of two towns. Right, you think about the civil aviation business, the pilot training, it's been lights out, constant grower, very strong, great margin. And to your point, almost an international monopoly in some ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of players who compete against them. It's highly regulated, so it's hard to get into. And, you know, the manufacturers have largely let them become the simulator of choice across industry. And, you know, when we look at that business in the next 3 to 5 years, there's nothing really stopping it, right? We're still low on pilots. Airlines are continuing to grow, capacities continue to expand, and you know there's a recurring element too, because every pilot that flies fundamentally across the world has to be trained every single year, and CAE gets the benefit of that.
Every year they go in for training pilots.
Yeah, you got to be safe. You know, you want to get those. You want to make sure those planes go up and come back down in one piece. So,
wow.
The other part of that
annual
story,
training,
though,
even if they stay on the same bird.
Oh yeah, totally.
Really.
Totally.
That's interesting. I love the world of aviation. It's absolutely fascinating. Look, we got to pay some bills around here. It's Chorus Radio, Hi-Fi Radio. Of course, Chorus is the parent to this international show about money. Podcast available on iTunes. Hi-Fi Radio is the name of it. Jack Hartle, my partner. I'm Wolfgang Klein. We are both portfolio managers, and we help Canadians build wealth. Work, save, invest, repeat. Then you get to retire and spend, save, repeat. Spend, invest, repeat, I shall say. The circle of life, the cycle of life. And as your life cycle unfolds, major turning points in your life is when you need to update your financial plan and, again, get some guidance as to how you're going to attack the next stage of your life. Life stages, fascinating stuff, also requires ongoing advice and guidance. That's what we're here for. Quick break, get right back to Hi-Fi Radio Show About Money on 640 Toronto.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day.
It's Hi-Fi Radio.
It's a new life.
Kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a new dawn.
Thanks for that, Matt. Matt Lee, our analyst, also picking the tune. Who's the artist for that one, Matt?
Nina Simone.
Very cool. Good piece. I like it. Thank you. Indeed, show about money. We call it Hi-Fi Radio, High Finance. But I do like the fidelity. High fidelity. Weave it in. I used to work with Alan Cross, and I remember flying Air Canada once, and he got, I think, for a while in the Air Canada listening network. You put on your headphones and listen to all kinds of Alan Cross stuff. It was fun. Ongoing history of new music. I don't know if he still does that now. And actually, when I fly, I just like to get into this weird zone. I don't want to watch TV. I just want to sort of get into the flying zone. That's what I do. Anyways, Matt Lee, an analyst with Canaccord, covers financials, also covers industrials. And some interesting ones there. We're talking about CAE. Let's talk about Air Canada for a bit, and then we'll move over to back to the financials and talk about Propel Holdings, fintech stock. Sure. But the airlines, again, I pay attention, and most of my client assets, Matt, are south of the border. Why? Because it works better. Why? Because over time, you probably make 2 or 3% a year more money investing in S&P 500 type names than you will in the TSX names. Canada works when commodities work, and right now commodities are lukewarm. Copper's working. Oil has a bid. Food stocks don't, unless it's chocolate. Cocoa hit $10,000 a ton. But there's not a lot of love yet for Canada. We're going to have our day again. We will get some mojo back. But long term, it is U.S. over Canada as far as I'm concerned. Nonetheless, U.S. airlines have somewhat of a bid to it. United Airlines looks better. Air Canada's down here to around $18, trying to find a bit of a bid, shall we say, to it, but certainly not direct, ascending to any great altitude, shall I say. Overall, the space of the airlines, Matthew, share with us, you know, the current state of the industry.
Yeah, good. Good to kind of open this can of worms or kind of topic. It's a really a great industry in Canada, and I say that from an investment perspective because, you know, when you look at the industry dynamics, we just had, we have constant demand for low-cost carriers, and they come in and they perform for a little while, and then, you know, they inevitably go bankrupt or leave. And we're starting to see that now. So, you know, we had a very frothy environment in 2022, going to 2023, and airlines sprung up, created some competition. But now we're going back to kind of, you know, a 2 or 3 player model, which works in Canada, and it does a couple of things. First, it keeps prices relatively sensible, right? You know, we don't want to fly, well, you know, I mean, as a consumer, maybe you do, but as an investor, you don't want flights being $6,500 to, you know, Toronto to Vancouver. That doesn't make sense economically for the big companies, right? So as you get better consolidation, the well-capitalized, well-thought-out players, Air Canada of the world, you know, they do very well. So, I mean, I think what we're going to look for in 2024 is a situation where, you know, volume continues to grow, capacity comes back online. And remember that Canadian capacity is not yet surpassing pre-COVID levels. So we have growth to go on that front, but also pricing remaining relatively reasonable, you know, the players being disciplined, and of course that improves profitability.
But with the as an airline investor, you know, tell me where my thinking's wrong. I would definitely treat these stocks no different than I treat the airline seat. I would rent it for a short flight.
I mean, you know, everyone has a different view on it, right? But I think that as of right now, Air Canada trades at 3x EBITDA, mm-hmm. right? 3x is just far too cheap, right? Too cheap. You know, to your point, the U.S. names have rallied in a meaningful way. Air Canada is starting to see it now, but really hasn't hit that inflection point yet. So, you know, for us, in our view, there's a long way to go upwards before, you know, you even have to consider hopping off, so to speak.
Interesting. But again, not for the faint of heart. Airlines are so capital intensive, and you get yourself a turn of events that works against you. And boy, does it work against you fast. So be careful with such a name in your portfolio. But I'll tell you a company that I can sort of put my teeth into, and stock that you and I used to own, Jack, was Exchange Income Fund. This is an unknown company to most investors, but it is one integrated little industrial company. Talk a little bit more about it. I met management myself. I got their book. Cool book, by the way. Very, very heavy. but to talk a little bit more about Exchange Income Fund, they're from their surveillance business to their medevac business to their building products business.
Yeah, I could talk about Exchange Income for an hour. But, you know, if I wanted to distill it to kind of a couple key points
Please.
Here. On one hand, they run a provincial airline that largely does medical-based travel, so extremely important mission-critical travel. You know, it has very little oscillations in terms of demand, so, you know, that's great. You know, some to your point about demand oscillations in the overall industry, like this doesn't get felt that there at all. You know, they buy aircraft, they can sell them. They do a lot of part maintenance and part work as well, so that's one of their businesses. And then on the other hand, they have a massive manufacturing business that does a variety of different things that are not airline related. They do window walls for high-end condominiums. They do Northern Mat, which is a matting business for transportation up north. So, I mean, it's an interesting amalgamation.
I want to stop you on those two categories. How is the mat business? Because that's a weird one. And Jack, you went to that presentation talking about the Northern Mat.
I think it turned
mat.
Out to be a dog initially. I'm not sure how it is now.
Matt, how's it worked out?
Oh, it's been great. I mean, you know, year one of that business, its revenue and EBITDA drastically surpassed expectations. Now it's coming back up down to earth a bit. But I mean, if you were to take the metrics of that company is performing at now versus when it got acquired, you know, it more than has surpassed expectations from either the analysts or me.
I'll tell your friends at home, if you don't know what that Northern Mat business is, just picture some tundra with a bunch of trees and rock, and now you want to either drill a hole in the ground for oil or copper or something. You got to get heavy equipment out to that point. And they can often do that in the wintertime when the tundra's frozen. But in the summer, you get mud and your diggies get stuck in the mud. So they clear forest and they put these reusable mats down. It's considered, you know, big chunky skids, so their trucks can go back and forth on them. And then when the project's done, they pull the mats up and reuse them. Interesting business. But their military surveillance business, Jack, and you and I are in the presentation as well. That is pretty cool stuff. The way I understand it, man, please build on this. But they have some pretty high-tech equipment that can, I don't know, detect within submarines and these freighter ships if they're carrying any contraband, per se. Is that true?
You know, I haven't seen it used in that application. We usually consider it to be maritime surveillance. So really what they're trying to do is they're trying to make sure that, you know, fishermen, you know, fish within the waters they're allowed to. You know, they do some surveillance work in the Netherlands as well. So, I mean, you know, there's a variety of applications, obviously, but fundamentally what it is a very, very high-powered camera strapped to a relatively low-flying plane, can capture the vision of your face from that far up. So realistically, it is a very high-powered tool that's more and more valuable as we get into these border control times.
Yeah, no, very interesting business. Now let's move over, Jack. You brought this one up, Propel Holdings. What is it, Matthew?
Yeah, so basically it's a fintech platform. What they do is they originate consumer loans you know, manage them in their portfolio, make sure that you pay them back, and, you know, they make a spread. It's a very nice business and a very high ROE business that capitalizes on the fact that banks have gotten a lot tighter with origination and consumers still need money.
And how's the company performing? I don't know anything about it. And it is a small company. It's worth what, about $600 million stock that's trading at $17 a share. Where does that stand relative to where it's been?
Oh, I mean, it's been a rocket ship so far. You know, yeah, I mean, year to date, this is one of the strongest performers we've seen. You know, the fact of the matter is the compounding story, right? So you take a look at their loan book, they're able to generate a return on that loan book. They can you can leverage that return and then reinvest it to generate their loan book even further, right? So there's a snowball effect that allows them to continuously return cash, continuously create capital generation and, you know, pay a dividend as well.
Interesting. Anything else you want to share with us, Matt, before you let you go have some Easter time with your family?
No, I think we've covered it all.
Matthew Lee, CFA analyst with Canaccord, covering the banks, airlines, and a few industrial names. I want to thank you for your insight. Much appreciate it. We're going to stay on the Canaccord analyst theme. Speak with Luke Hannon. He's an analyst. He covers beverages. I'm always thirsty. Spin Master, that old children's entertainment company, and a lot of consumer products names, including Couche-Tard, Auto Canada, Dew, which is the old BRP, Gildan Activewear. That one's got a bid in it, doesn't it? Jack, it's privatized. That was a big story last couple of days. Talk about that one. He also covers Aritzia. If you have any teenage, I guess it's mainly daughters at home, I'm sure they've dragged you to Aritzia. My daughter is my benchmark when it comes to stuff like that. She helped me and my clients make some money on Elf Beauty. Same line of thinking. And it was a Hi-Fi Radio show about money. If you have any questions for Jack or I, wolfgangklein.com, thewolfonbaystreet.com. We're here for you. No question too big, no question too small. We're here for you all. We want to see you build wealth. Slow, steady, Eddie. If you want to see how well we have done for our clients, take a look at the website. Under Performance Matters. We show our performance each and every month, full transparency. You find another advisor in Canada that will show their monthly performance. They just don't do it. I don't know why, but we're out in front and center, full transparency, lots of honesty, lots of mistakes, lots of pain, yet we have success, long-term success. We can share that with you if you like. Give us a few minutes, get right back to the show. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto.
It is Saturday night. Our next analyst, he covers a stock called Spin Master. It's a children's entertainment stock. The analyst, Luke Hannon, covers beverages. That sound industry, some children's entertainment, consumer products, lifestyle brands, and even healthcare. Luke, I said it to Matt Lee, you know, you have to adapt in society if you want to survive. And if you were an analyst 20 years ago, you would cover consumer products or beverages or healthcare. You would not cover four sectors.
Definitely not pot, Wolf.
And definitely not. Yeah, definitely not pot. What do you say to your mother when she asks you what you do for a living?
You know, it's funny because every time I do explain to her what I do for a living, I still don't think it quite resonates with either my mom or my dad.
Yeah, my in-laws were like that. What does Wolf do again? I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
I help people make money.
Yeah,
how about
exactly.
That? Yeah. Anyways, thanks for joining us, Luke. It's a pleasure. Where do you want to begin? Let's begin with Spin Master. I remember this stock. I don't know what the products are. I do remember it. Never bought it.
Paw Patrol, Wolf.
Paw Patrol?
You know that one for sure. 100%.
Was it more than media content, or was it the actual toys or combination thereof?
Well, it's a bit of both. They really made their bones, if you will, in toys. But Paw Patrol is now, I mean, it's more than 10 years old, and it's their flagship property for sure. So really, Spin Master, if we were to go back 10 years ago, this was more so purely a toy maker, a toy company. Mm-hmm. Now it's evolved into beyond just that. It's toys, it's movies and TV shows, and also digital games as well. So really, the more holistic way to look at it is that it's a children's entertainment company as opposed to just purely a toy maker.
Wow. You know, as you're talking about their media content and Paw Patrol, either before or after Paw Patrol, I remember seeing In the Night Garden. And I think the producer of that show spent some time with your healthcare department. We'll get maybe talk about it. I don't know if you've seen it before, man. It is In the Night Garden?
No, I haven't had the pleasure.
And they too had product, Nicky Nonk and Ickle Pickle. Oh, yeah. Pop, have you seen it, Jack, In the Night Garden?
I have not.
Oh, goodness. You got to. I think it was British. I don't know where it came from. It was.
I know of it, though.
Oh, my daughter loved it. And then there was the Pingu. Remember Pingu?
Pingu the penguin?
The Pingu the penguin. My daughter would go, look at him. He's going to poo. Hilarious. A hilarious show. Yeah. Content. It's unbelievable. And it really grabs the kids' attention. You don't remember, Jack, back in the day, McDonald's. Their television commercials were basically content for kids. They had the Hamburglar.
Oh, I remember that. Wolf.
But do you remember how they would really target market to children under the ages of 10? That became illegal, eh?
As it should be. And you know what? Social media has been targeting youth, and there's actually some backlash there and some litigation going on right now.
There is. Is Zuckerberg really an evil person? I don't know. A lot of comedians think he is. Anyways, Luke, let's talk then about consumer products. We sold our Couche-Tard. We had a nice trade in that stock. It was a solid, you know, and friends, you don't know what alimentation Couche-Tard is. It's Circle K. It's gas stations. It's around the world. I was in Ireland. I couldn't believe how many Circle Ks, Luke, I saw in Ireland. And I think they were 24/7. Very, very successful chain. But, you know, when a stock runs as long as it has, you know, it ran, I believe. Again, Luke, correct me where you think I'm wrong, but this stock was so strong when the economy was slowing down and interest rates were pinching people, but they still had to put some gas in their car. And they, you know, Circle K sells a lot of smokes, so that actually worked very, very well for the business. And confection, you know, being low-priced fix of chocolate bars and snacks, made for a very, very profitable enterprise. Plus, they were acquiring assets at reasonable prices, so good acquisition story. It was a perfect story. It showed some weakness of late, and we're seeing rotation take place, Luke, a lot of rotation in the market. You're seeing banks wake up. You're seeing the more, as Jack considers them, economically sensitive names making up, as opposed to those predictable names that often are expensive. Couche was never expensive, but, you know, the likes of Microsoft and maybe, I don't know, Google, for example, just, you know, go-to places when you don't know what else to buy. But the market's opened up. So I want to ask you, do you think Couche-Tard sort of is going to pass the baton over to maybe an Air Canada or maybe to a cannabis stock?
No, I think still Couche-Tard is absolutely, it should be a core holding for everybody's portfolios, at least those that are focused on the consumer space. So you mentioned it's been a strong performer over the last couple of years and outperforming virtually all other sectors on the back of being in a, what the CEO Brian Hannasch calls, not necessarily a recession-resistant industry, but recession-resilient. And that's what we've seen play out over the course of the last couple of years. And to your point, Wolfgang, you mentioned that they have done some smart acquisitions, and Total Energies, which is the latest one that they did, was the latest in a long line of really smart acquisitions.
Total? They bought some Total assets?
Correct. Oh. Yes, Total Energies, exactly, yeah. So they expanded their presence within Europe, and then, again, it was the latest in a long line of really smart acquisitions where they haven't overpaid, and the synergies they're able to get out of these are incredible. So all of that has been great for the stock. The challenge over the last couple of quarters has been, also to your point, on cigarettes, and really it's nicotine in general, but cigarettes are the biggest culprit here. So for Couche-Tard, roughly 40% of the sales that they have in their stores come from tobacco. And if we were to benchmark that,
wow,
40%, 40, yeah. And if we were to benchmark that relative to another of their publicly traded peers, Casey's, that number's closer to 18%. And the folks who are buying those cigarettes or nicotine products in general, what we've seen is that they tend to be a little bit more credit sensitive, or at least a little bit lower on the household income scale compared to your average consumer. And in periods of higher inflation, like what we've seen over the course of more acutely of the last, call it 3 to 6 quarters, where people are really starting to feel the effects of the higher inflation, or more in particular, high interest rates, there's been a huge decline in spending related to that cohort, to the point where management of Couche-Tard on the last earnings call mentioned that those folks who use their SNAP dollars, the Supplementary Nutrition Assistance Program dollars, to when they use those dollars to spend in Couche stores, that pool of revenue was down 40% for Couche year on year in the last quarter. So pretty substantial, meaning it still is very much a recession resilient industry. But at the same time, even something that's relatively stable like convenience stores, gas stations, even they are starting to see the impacts of an overall softer consumer, which, to your point, also is inspiring this rotation perhaps into other sectors.
Well, quickly, I just want to touch on, it is Easter weekend. A lot of people will be heading up to the cottage. No snow up there, and I'm sure they'll drive by a few Skidoo dealerships with some boxes out in the parking lot. That must have been a tough season. You cover BRP, symbols do. That must have been a tough season, but also you got this Taiga Motors, which is EV, the marine craft track?
Skidoo and Sea-Doo.
Sea-Doo. So that category, the sleds, and speaking of Skidoo, they must have massive inventory.
They do, yes, and it's very topical. They just released their Q4 results this morning, and that's exactly what they noted, is that in snowmobiles in particular, dealers ended the season, having a little bit more inventory than they would like, and that's part of a broader theme, what we've seen with BRP's dealers, but also power sports dealers in general. It's not that different from the automotive market, where dealers there are seeing, okay, we're selling products that are considerably more expensive than they would have been pre-pandemic, but then on top of that, the consumers that are coming in to buy these products, to the extent that they have to finance them, which a majority still do,
really,
the payment, the payment is significantly higher than it would have been pre-pandemic. And of course, it's more difficult to make the math work from that perspective when wages haven't necessarily grown at the same pace as has the broader metrics for inflation over the course of the last year.
So, yeah, no, I wanted to throw in a few financial planning tips and then head to a quick commercial break. But number one, friends, if you want to build wealth, Luke's telling you what not to do. Don't smoke, because if you do, you're going to be lower economic socio profile, which is true. And number two, you do not finance personal consumption. Debt, you are allowed in one category, your home, and that is it. Car, maybe if you can write it off, and there you're probably better off to get a lease. But if you want to build wealth, do not spend money on consumer products unless you can pay for them. Because you don't want to get into the rat trap of just owing money to the man and then wondering why you don't have any. Work, save, invest. The invest part, don't forget it. We're here for you. Yes, you get to have fun. Maybe you can buy a used unit, eh, Jack?
I would think so.
I would think so, too.
Now's the time.
Definitely now's the time.
But just don't finance it, Wolf.
Do not finance. Please don't. I know that's not good for the due stock, but we don't own it. And if it was, who cares? It's about you. You, the listener. That's what we care about. I want you to have more money. All right? So prudence is so important. Hi-Fi Radio, 640 in Toronto. If you want to grow your wealth, this is what you want to tune into each and every Saturday at 7 p.m. More show right after this.
Want to make more money? Stay tuned for more Hi-Fi Radio on 640 Toronto.
Hey, brother man, hear what you say. Give me some of your sense. Hey, Rasta man, hear what you say. Give me some of your sense. So long I have been searching for a taste. Looking all over the place. Not ever could I find a sense to satisfy my mind. So I can.
Man, I love reggae. I did not know this, that the song was written and sung by Rita Marley, Bob Marley's widow. Great song, eh? Do you remember dancing to that on the floor in the 80s? I do. Anyways, appropriate for the discussion, Luke Hannon, one of our analysts. He covers beverages, entertainment, consumer products, and healthcare. Small pharma, maybe? Cannabis. Whoa. Up in smoke, my good friends. Unbelievable. What a story of last decade. Smoked. That's what they did to the pot stocks. They smoked them. Boy, oh boy. We used to have Bruce Linton on this show, Luke. Do you even know who he is?
Oh, of course I know who he is.
Of course
he's
you
a
know.
Pioneer, yeah.
The pioneer, but I don't know what happened. If is he lost in the woods now or just took his money and moved on? But he was on this show, I don't know, every 6 weeks, Jack?
He was, yeah. It was hot.
He was great.
It was hot.
He was great. So great.
You talk about selling page one, Wolf.
Yeah. Well, that's Doc. What was it? What was the name of his company?
Canopy.
Canopy Growth.
Canopy, yep.
How high did that share price get? $200? $250? It's unbelievable.
I mean,
it was wild. It was just
like
wild.
$3 billion market cap. Yep.
$3 billion market cap. And oh my goodness me. Well, what is actor? And I kept saying, you know, this one worries me because they're producing a commodity. All commodities need to be traded. All commodities get down to often low price producer unless you can take the commodity and turn it into Jack A.
Brand.
Brand. Oh, boy. Turn into brand. That's when you connect. And they were trying to do that, but they never did it. I heard at the retail, I don't go to cannabis shops, but I heard at the retail level, looks inside these stores, they totally screwed it up. It does not look like nice looking brands. The packaging's weird. They really.
That was part of the legislation, though, Wolf.
Weird packaging, no advertising, eh?
Well, they didn't actually qualify it as weird packaging, but they said, yeah, you can't develop brands.
Can't develop brands, yeah. But they have a store in every corner right beside.
Why not?
It's unbelievable. So anyways, where are we at in the space of cannabis?
Well, there's a lot that has changed over the course of the last, call it, 5 years. Mm-hmm. And particularly, I mean, Canada, there hasn't been as much change there. Frankly, it's a bit more of an onerous market to operate in if you are a licensed producer because of the amount of, to your guys' points, the regulation that exists and also the excise taxes makes it extremely difficult if you're an LP to generate a meaningful profit in the sector. But in the U.S., it's actually a very interesting time to be looking at the space right now. There are two major near-term catalysts going on if you are someone who is looking at the space. The first, and this is something that's applicable for really everybody in the sector, is right now there is an announcement from the DEA in the near term that we should be getting imminently regarding the rescheduling of cannabis from Schedule 1 to potentially Schedule 3. So mm-hmm. In other words, instead of it being classified in the Controlled Substances Act as something that would be equivalent to heroin, for example, in Schedule 1, it would then move into Schedule 3, or in other words, products that or substances that have some sort of medicinal medical benefit associated with them. Something like ketamine, for example, which we've seen in the past, that is something that in certain circumstances can be used to treat severe depression. So that in and of itself is notable because everybody in the space, I spoke about how onerous it is in Canada to be operating in a structure where there's very high excise taxes. In the U.S., it's similar, but even more pronounced because of within the IRS, there is Section 280E, which stipulates that if you operate in a federally illicit sector like cannabis, the way it's structured in the U.S. right now, you're not able to deduct any business-related expenses associated with running, you know, a cannabis business, which in other words means you are effectively taxed at the gross profit level and not your pre-tax income level.
And what about the Banking Act? The Banking Act prevented them from opening up corporate bank accounts, didn't they?
Exactly. So it's basically a cash basis if you were to go into these stores right now. You can't use,
in the United States. Sorry, throughout the United States, if you were to go into California. Really? It's a pure cash, but you can't use your credit card?
Correct.
Really? You can't use a credit card?
Well, in limited circumstances, you might be able to, but purely speaking, it's cash, meaning, I mean, it's very, as you can imagine, the safety associated with that. It's running on a cash basis means that you're more susceptible to theft, potentially. And, I mean, overall, it's just not a clean structure.
You know what you do? You get them to smoke a bit of pot, and they'll slow them down on the way out.
Yeah, that's the hope.
That's
Jack?
The hope.
Yeah, Luke, with the election on the horizon, Trump versus Biden, Democrats, Republicans, any concerns there or opportunities, I guess, with Trump versus Biden?
Sure. Well, I mean, the hope is that Biden, in an attempt to hopefully curry favor with voters, is going to, I mean, there's only so much they can do. The DEA is its own independent body. But at the same time, the hope is that Biden will do whatever he can to try and have this rescheduling take place so that he can go to voters and say, well, look at the reform that I've done on cannabis. Here's exactly why it is that you should vote for me. Of course, that has implications, positive implications for folks who may have been cannabis-related arrests or convictions in the past. But if you are a business operating in the space, I spoke to earlier about them being effectively taxed at the gross profit level. Well, then this rescheduling allows them to be taxed at the pre-tax income level, just like everybody else. So meaningful cash flow tailwinds for all these operators in the space, because you don't have to pay this inordinate amount of tax. So very much, I mean, cannabis, Biden is an ally to cannabis for sure.
Just 30 seconds. What about Donald Trump on the cannabis theme?
You know what's interesting is he doesn't have a very clear, concise position on what exactly he would do with cannabis. We'll wait and see what exactly how he feels. But I have to imagine if the American electorate thinks that, look, we want cannabis to be legalized basically across the country, or at the very least states want to have more of a say in whether that's going to be the case within their particular state, Trump will likely follow suit.
Matt Lee spent some time with us at the start of the show. Luke Hannon, another brilliant analyst at Canaccord, helping us wrap up the show. Covered a lot of ground today, my good friends. Luke, great job. Honestly, it was a lot of fun getting caught up with you. I want you all to have a great weekend. Just remember, work, save, invest, repeat. 25 years, 30 years, and then once you get close to retirement, time for change, you got to update your financial plan, then you get to spend some of your hard-earned money, but you got to continue to invest it, okay? So it's a process, and if you have any questions, we're here for you. Never hesitate to reach out to Jack or I at website, wolfgangklein.com, wolfonbaystreet.com. I really do enjoy when listeners do contact us and spend some time with us. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Happy to extend the love to you each and every day. Never hesitate to give us a call. Good weekend. Speak with you next weekend. All the best.
You've been listening to Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Harthill, portfolio managers at Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. For questions about today's show or any questions about money, email wolfandjack@wolfgangklein.com. Hi-Fi Radio. For the love of money. Join us again next week. The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Chorus Entertainment.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.